this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power, models that rise above the limits of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances, to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the Word of His Grace.
What is His name? Magnify the name of the Lord. Give Him all the glory. Give Him all the honor and the adoration. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I worship you for the salvation of my soul. I thank you for reaching out to me, for saving me. I give glory. I give honor. I give all the adoration to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. And in Jesus' name we have worshipped. I'd like us to take a few prayers, just one prayer point. In the first service, Solomon was the man who made a comment in 1 Kings chapter 5 and in verse number 4. He said, "But now the Lord hath given me rest on every side." I'm sure you care for rest on every side. God will give you rest. But the truth is, God gave him rest on every side, he said, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. But somebody paid the price for the rest that God gave him. His father paid. In verse 3, look at the price the father paid. He said, "But thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars." David fought all the wars. He fought all the battles. David he did not leave wars or battles for his children to fight. One son of the prophet left war, Ogunbesi. The man left war, the war of indebtedness. I mean, Shoguko. The creditors came to take the two sons. He didn't leave them an inheritance, he left them war. Hezekiah also, in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 19. 2 Kings 20, 19. Look at Hezekiah. "Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which he has spoken." Can you imagine what he said good to? If you want to know what he said good to, let's look at it from preceding verses. Look at it from verse number 16. "And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold," verse 17, "the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store," whatever is in your house, everything your fathers have worked for, "unto this day, shall be carried away to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." Look at the next verse. "And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, omoto omabi, which thou shalt beget," the children you are going to have, talking about future generation, "shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Princes and princesses becoming eunuchs, being carried away. What should this man do for the generation of his children yet unborn? He should have behaved like Moses. Moses told God, "If you will forgive the children of Israel, remove my name from your book." Moses interceded for the children of Israel. But rather than intercede, Hezekiah said, "Good is the word of the Lord." Look at what he said, which he has spoken. And he said, "Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? At least there will be peace in my time. Awon momo le ma foriko ogun. But I'll be peace. Maybe that is the reason why you are like this. Maybe your father had not paid the price for your own peace, for your own rest. Maybe your father had not fought spiritual battles for your life. And then you are struggling. That's number one price that David paid. He paid that price. Look at another price that David paid. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 3. 1 Chronicles 29:3. He paid another price. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for my house. David made provision for the house that Solomon was going to build. So, the second thing a man needs, Theophany Jagoni, provision. Hello. If your father had left provisions for you, would you be here? Would you be struggling like this? If your father had left good things for you. A boy just bought a house for his wife. About to be married. They are not married. He bought a house. He saw a yahoo boy. He bought a house for his, you know, in a posh area. You know why? His father left substance for him. Heaven will open upon you. What your father couldn't do for you, the God of heaven will do for you. And you will do great things for your children. So, can you see? Some people, their children were fighting. One Mr. Jukes in the United States of America, he left war and battle for his children. So, we saw prisoners among his children, prostitutes, armed robbers, criminals, drug addicts. A friend of his, Jonathan Edwards, a Baptist, I've told you the story. Jonathan, you know what he left for his children? Among his children, they were contemporaries. 100 lawyers. Senators in the United States of America. University presidents, like university vice chancellors. He left 100 clergymen, 100 pastors, his children. All of them excellent. That's a legacy. Any come for Gunle. Any come for Gunle. Ogun at Ogun. What are you going to leave for your children? And now let's face yourself first. If you are fighting war, you better fight it and finish it. David fought it. He was always fighting. So his son came. Here are you. God will give us good children. Because no battle for Solomon. Ndati orogun. O wa ku fe yawo 1300%. Ndati osogun. No war. Eh get here. He didn't need to work for money to send children to school. He didn't need to look for money to build the sanctuary. His father provided everything. Aratu ogun ewu igba itura. Aratu ma yen sir. No war. Iwo na wo bara se ntue ngba ti o ba ni struggle. Prayer you won't pray because I rat where. That's why when some people ask little change, they be fighting those who are praying. Why are you praying serious prayers? Oh, we need to change. They are rat ko ti rogu. E je ko fara han loju orun. Praise the Lord. One man asked me why I used to pray aggressive prayer. I said it was long ago. I learned to pray aggressive fire. If they say it's not biblical, I have one Bible. A fire go before him. So I hold on to that one. To pray fire. Fire, fire, fire. I was young. I was a teenager. I lived in a 16-room house. Very heavy house. And then I got born again. I was 17. And then the Holy Spirit came upon me. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I was praying. In our face me and face you room, I woke up to pray in the middle of the night. as my custom was. I was praying around 1 a.m. and knelt down to pray, and then the Holy Ghost moved me to stand up. I got up and I was pacing up and down, and I moved to our small window and I held the wire mesh that we call burglar proof on the window, and I looked out and I saw, not in a dream, I was praying, not in a vision, I saw creatures like this. You've heard this story from me again and again. They were human, full grown men, but like this, plenty, and they did like this by the window, and my head became swollen, you know, goose pimples all over me. And when I saw, in the middle of the night, when I saw that fear came, and all I could say is, fire! And I shouted fire. I saw balls of fire moving out from my mouth towards them, and then they ran back and fell. And then I shouted fire! And then they ran them up. And as I was shouting fire, they started running away. Fire! 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 I shouted, you know, how will you scream? No, no. I screamed fire so intensely that the neighbors ran downstairs, because they thought there was fire in the room. I was the only one that saw that. And I saw how they responded to the prayer of fire. Somebody is now teaching me Bible. At the disaster, I shouldn't pray fire. Else I don't know Bible. I have an experience. Will you pray? Your prayer number one. The Bible says, comfort ye Jerusalem, comfort ye my people. Say to Jerusalem, our warfare is accomplished. So for Jerusalem, would you like to turn to your neighbor, pray for somebody this morning, pray for somebody this morning, pray for somebody, pray for somebody, and begin to prophesy that I declare to you that your warfare is accomplished. In the name of Jesus, I declare your warfare is accomplished. In the name of Jesus, I declare. In Jesus' name we are afraid. Stop. When you see me enter into prophetic mode, don't joke with it. Look for somebody that we pray. Sweetheart, Tori Temuche, that do I do. Look for somebody to pray that prayer for. Step out of your... If you don't have somebody, come out of that place. Come out. You have nobody to pray for. Where are you? No, the Holy Ghost... I didn't pray like this in the first service. You don't have a partner, somebody to pray for. Come, 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 come. You don't have? Who? Once I start praying, you're on your own. Don't pray this prayer for... You don't have to hold the person's hand. You don't have to touch the person. Just point to, see that you have someone. God bless you. Money fair, image. Stay there, stay there, stay there. Oh. Could you say Auntie Nikomu? Oh yeah. Hello, hello, bye. Okay, Otomamu, did you buy me telling you, if you are alone? You are going to pray for that person. Declare it. In the name of Jesus, I declare, according to the word of God, your warfare is accomplished. Your battles are over. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and declare on that person. Lepra yala gada raba baba baba sata yala ebololo sanda la gada yala la 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 aga yala la la baba baba lepro yolo bose kete yala gada da da igando robo sata yala la la bro yala bada da 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 Thank you, Father. Choir, go to your seat. We're still praying. Go to your seat. Thank you. You won't spend your life fighting battles. Close your eyes. I declare by the Spirit of God to that brother who has been fighting wars That young lady who has never known peace or rest, but battles. As you shout this amen this morning, in the name that is above all names, I declare that your warfare is over. Joban Bela Zedala Boyalala Washataka Yaloba Jobata Satayala Ikatala Daraba Zatayala Gadara Parata Sata Zikatakaya Brana Sakata Rana Kataya Jobaya Gadara Ikarada Dara Rakata Sata Wabro Yala Baba. Your mafia is accomplished. Hezekiah left battles and war for his children. And I stand this morning on this exalted altar in the name that is above all names, that your children will not fight battles. Your children will not fight wars. The children that you will beget or that you have begotten, they will not go to captivity. Anyone, any child, any of your children, anywhere right now, who is in any captivity of the enemy, we bring them out in the name of Jesus. At every junction of the lives of your children, every junction of their life, they will not know battles. Somebody, you are shouting this amen. Every battle of passage, to fight, to pass from one level to another, that battle, someone wanted to gain admission to the university, and is fighting a battle, scored 290 in JAMB, yet no admission. Following year, scored 278 or 280, yet no admission. Third year, again, scored 297, yet no admission. Fighting battle of passage, 1 year only, Kodazine. Or somebody fighting a battle of employment. You go for interview. You will be distinguished at that interview. And they will say, congratulations. You have done well. We will get back to you. And that will be the end. And it will be repeating itself. If it is written, you will be forced. But to call you, it will be a lie. It's a battle of passage. To marry, junction of marriage is a battle. You are beautiful. Men will just look at you and then they will come around you, or they are not even coming around you. It's a battle of passage. Now you are even married. To now have children, it's a battle of passage. Anyone at any such junction, whatever junction you are, whatever battle you are fighting or facing at that junction, I decree an end to it now in the name of Jesus. Shobanambre galana yala badada pandre yala badara baba pro yala baba. Every battle or passage comes to an end in the name of Jesus. Close your eyes, everybody. There are three young ladies here. Every enemy on your way, Manabusa, three young ladies, I don't know who you are, but I right now, the powers standing on your way, say Gayala, as your amen reaches God now in heaven, let them be taken out of the way. Yenemosata yala naraba sata yala naraba da bura senagra yala da brama da bada bada sota yala ba ibrana kata yala bada da ala bara 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 sata yala bada da yaga dono mosata yala ba yaga da shakantela boya. Power standing on your way, they are taken out of the way. You move into glory, move into greatness, enter into greatness, enter into glory in the name of Jesus. I sent the fire of God ahead of your children. Psalm 97 verse 3. A fire goeth before him and burneth all his enemies round about. If before you also and before your children, I send the fire of God. Let the fire of God go ahead of you. Let it go before you. To every junction. The junction of your life and destiny. Of your children and destiny. And their destiny. Let the fire burn every enemy in the name of Jesus. You will not know struggle. Your children will not know struggle. In the name of Jesus. Ire oni soro se fun. Ati serere oni ni olara. What others are doing with this will not be difficult for you. Ohun egbe mi se to ro won lorun. Eleda mi o mama jete mi o nira. Ohun egbe mi se to ro. Mama jete Solomon was so blessed, but he couldn't manage his prosperity so well. He messed up. You'll be so blessed, your children will be so blessed. You and your children will manage it excellently. Your resources, your success will bring glory to God. Paul, we pay me to read me once in your Lord logo. He said, and they glorified God in me. They will glorify God in you. They will glorify God in your children. So shall it be. In the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Shout amen. Threefold amen ascending order. Let's go. God bless you. Go back to your seat. Your battles are over. Now that does not mean that you will not walk. That does not mean that you will not walk. As a matter of fact, you don't need me to tell you. You have known that to pass from every one stage to another, there are contentions. And you must deal with contenders. That was what Solomon did not know. Nobody told him. And he messed up. You will not mess up. And I am telling you, there are challenges at every junction. And you must brace up to face them and pay the price for your rise. There is a price attached to every rise in life. So you pay the price and get to where you are going. You will get there. You have a colorful future. A very bright one. In Jesus' name, you will get there. Amen. Shout hallelujah. In the first service, I preached a message I titled Fulfill Your Destiny. And this second service, let me share with you the tools for making impact. Tools for making impact. You have heard and you have known that Jesus Christ said you are the salt of the earth. He said you are the light of the world. And the implication is that you must make impact. Is that not so? Salt and light are known for impact. Matthew chapter number 5. Let's read. I'd like you to please pay attention from verse 13 to verse 16. Are you there? Read with me, everybody. One, two, go. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, louder. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is an admonition, in fact, a command. Let your light so shine before men. Now, these two great elements and substance that we have been likened to, they are for impact. Salt is for impact. Salt makes impact anywhere. Anything salt comes into contact with, Salt makes immediate impact or has an immediate impact on that thing. Do you agree with me? It has an immediate impact on that thing. Immediate impact. Growing up, we grew up with certain infirmities. I mean, you contract maybe because of the environment. Maybe you start having running stool, not diarrhea, maybe diarrhea or what have you. My mother would tell us then to take water and add salt. And then you just take it. And it has immediate impact. Do you know till today? Anytime I feel disturbance in my tummy, can I tell you what I do? It doesn't matter what time, if I'm going to the toilet. Just give me gari. I put gari. I put very cold water. I put sugar. I put salt. Oral solution, ORS. In my gari, and then I stay and I drink. And that's all. Ti o ba wa gbo. Ma wa je bread isi. Praise the Lord. So salt has immediate impact. And so as salt, anywhere you find yourself, you are to make immediate impact. You are to make impact. You are to record impact. Now, have you ever seen worm? Earthworm. Disgusting. You don't like it. And then you just put a pinch of salt or salt. What happens? It has immediate impact. It wrinkles and it could cut it into two. That's the power of the salt. To sweeten your environment, to deal a deadly blow to demonic forces around you. Salt. Somebody help me shout it and we make impact. The impact of light cannot be overemphasized. And light is not appreciated where there is no darkness. You don't appreciate light unless and until there is darkness. So never mind the intensity of the darkness or the darkness of the darkness of this age. It is for the intensity of your light to be revealed. Let your light therefore so shine before men, and your light shines through your works, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Luke chapter 19, verse 3. Let's start. Luke chapter 19, verse number 3. Verse 13, beg your pardon. Verse 13. Luke 19, 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. You have a commission. You have a ministry from the Lord Jesus. A commission to preach the gospel of Jesus, to talk about Jesus to people around you. It is a mandate we have received, and it is a way to shine our light. It is a way to salt it, to sweeten our environment. There is a mandate on your life. There is a ministry upon you. It is called the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus has given us that ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Somebody help me say that I have a ministry. I can hear you. Say louder. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. That's where your ministry is. You find it. Oh, I'm not a pastor, but I insist you have a ministry. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. Excuse me, sir. You have a ministry. Here the Bible says, Paul writing to the Corinthians said, and all things are of God. Every ministry is of God. Who hath reconciled us? The first thing he did was to reconcile you and me to himself. Reconciles us to himself by Jesus Christ. And now has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Somebody shout it, I have a ministry. You didn't shout it. So you have a ministry of reconciliation. And with this ministry, you are to make impact. You are to impart your generation. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and that committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So God has committed to you a ministry of reconciliation, and he has given you the tool. One of the tools is the word of reconciliation. Are you with me this morning? Only a few people are with me. May you fulfill your ministry. What is your ministry? Just note that I have the ministry of reconciliation. Whether you are in the choir, you are an usher, you are a pastor, you are a teacher, you are in the children's department, you are a sanctuary keeper, you are a marshal security department, whatever department you are, whatever department you are, the technical, you have the ministry. And may you not fail in that ministry. Can I hear you louder? Amen. Can I hear you better? Amen. So we're simply to make impact. And we make this impact as we preach the gospel of Jesus. He has committed unto you the word of reconciliation. And so you are expected to preach. In Mark chapter 16 verse 15, Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach! There is a necessity on you. And the urgent is this, an urgent business. The king's business, we have been told again and again, requires haste. Preach. Talk to people about Jesus. Your boss, your neighbor, your colleague. Let them know that you know Jesus. This is the assignment that God has committed into our hands. And there is a reward for you. There is a crown of rejoicing. That those who preach Jesus will be given. Those who preach Jesus, the Bible says they are wise. They are wise. Those who lead to men to righteousness, the Bible says they are wise. If you lead men to righteousness, God's word says you are wise. Are you wise? Are you wise? The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he who wins soul is wise. You win soul, you are wise. And it is those who preach the gospel, who carry out this assignment, that will shine as the bright, as the stars of heaven. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. Daniel 12, 3, the scripture says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness, they shall shine as the stars forever and ever. You will shine. Shine as stars. In the name of Jesus. So preaching. Those who preach the gospel of Jesus, they are wise. Those who preach the gospel of Jesus, they shall shine. Those who preach the gospel of Jesus, they are called peacemakers. They are the children of God. They are the children of God. They are peacemakers. The soul winners are peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Ibukuni fun awon ilaja. Tori pe omo Olorun ya ma pe won. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. Or the children of God. And then they shall receive a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 19 and 20. Now, in Luke that we read, chapter number 19 verse 3. Verse 13, Luke 19, 13, the Bible says, this man called his 10 servants and delivered unto them £10 for the business of impact. To make impact, he gave them £10. What are those tools that you will need to make impact? And that's our concern this morning. The reason why many of us have not been making impact is that we don't have these tools. And without these tools, you can't make impact. Now, what are the tools? Because of time, very quickly. Number one, it is your own personal encounter with Jesus. Somebody say personal encounter with Jesus. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 19, you read from verse 11 to verse 15. The Bible says God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. So much that handkerchiefs and aprons taken from him and given to the sick, they got healed. God delivered. Demons left them. What a joy. I told you last Sunday. What a joy. To see demons obey you. Pardon. What a joy to see demons obey you. Now, because they saw that the seven sons of Sceva now went to a man, seven men to a man. And they said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, come out! And the demon asked them a question. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Those two, they have sonship. They have identity. They have power. Somebody say sonship. Shout it, identity and power. That is what personal encounter with Christ gives you. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. To become the sons of God. To become the sons of God. Sons have right. Non-sons don't have right. What did I just say? Sons have right. Non-sons don't have right. I was eating some, my son, our last born was still about, I think about 5 years old. Maybe five, maybe four. And his friends, some of his friends were around. And then a particular friend that he loves, of course, came around to spend the weekend with him. And I was eating, and my son walked straight to my plate, and my wife gave me one fish, one meat. Pardon me. And my son came and he took one. And then he turned to his friend. And his friend stood and was looking. Why didn't he come? Because of sonship. And so my friend turned to his friend and said, go and take your own. And the boy was hesitant. He said, it's my daddy. Go and take your own. So, and he's one of my pastor's son. The boy was not looking at him. I said, come and take your own. Out of two. So they took the, so I said, you give me half of your own. Give me half of your own. Meaning, come on, I can pay half, half. So they shared my own meat they gave me. But I learned a lesson. The son came and took. And it was even the son that introduced his friend to come and take. That's what Jesus has done for you. He is the son. And introduced you to his father. He said, take it, it's my father. And then Jesus is now telling you, he said, as my father has sent me, so send I you. That you should also go out and come introduce some others to the father. And yet we are failing. We're not doing it. Personal encounter. Very important. Now the reason why you're not preaching is because you have not encountered him. We go back to our story. So the demon asked them, I know Jesus. I know Paul. They are sons. They have sonship with God. They have identity with God and with us. We recognize them. But who are you? You don't have no identity. And the demon possessed man passed on them and dealt with them. The Paul they were talking about had this encounter in Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. From verse 1, you read from verse 1, Paul was going to Damascus to collect. He has collected instruction from the chief priest to go and persecute Christians. And then a light shone on him and he fell to the ground. He said, who are you, Lord? And in verse number 5, and Jesus said, and he said, who are you, Lord? And he said to him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Who are you, Lord? Come on, somebody say, who are you, Lord? Let me say it louder. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And so Jesus revealed himself to him. And that marked the turning point in the life of this great apostle. In Mark chapter 5, you read from verse 1. Mark chapter 5, from verse 1, you can get home and read it up to verse number 8. He got to the other side of Gadara, the Gadarene, and then when he came out, a demon-possessed man who lived among tombs came, and he fell down, and he worshipped him. And then, you know, and no man could bound him, he could not be bound by any. And then Jesus said, come out of him, blah, blah, blah. He said, we are many, blah, blah, blah. Now, my point of interest, Jesus said, I adjure thee by God. I mean, they said, don't torment us. It is not time for us to go. Because he said, come out of him. In verse number 18, after the deliverance of this man, verse 18, and when he was come into the sheep, when they said Jesus should leave their area, may Jesus not leave your area. He came into the sheep. Then he that had been possessed with the devil, the man who had been delivered, prayed that he might be with him. Look at it in verse 19. And Jesus said to him, he suffered him not, he said, but said to him, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. And now he has had compassion on you. That is evangelism. That is the assignment. Go home and tell your friends how great things that Jesus has done for you. Can I ask you this question? Is there anybody here that Jesus has done something great for in your life? Let me see your hand. Keep your hands up. Are you sure he has done anything great for you? Popola, you are not raising your hand. Jesus has not done anything for you. Then go home. Don't put it down. Raise your hands up. Go home and tell your friends and your families how great things the Lord has done for you. Tell your neighbors. Tell your clients. Tell your customers. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed to tell them. If you are ashamed of Jesus today, he will also be ashamed of you. If you deny him now, he will deny you tomorrow. Don't deny him. Put down your hands. Tell your neighbor, I won't deny him. Don't deny Jesus. Then tell them about Jesus. It's about what he has done in your life. You can't know him and not make him known. You can't touch Jesus and not feel it. If you touched him, you can then touch the world. Only those who have touched him or that he has touched can touch the world. The number one tool, therefore, to make impact is your personal contact, your personal encounter with Jesus. The seven sons of Sceva, they didn't have that encounter, and so they were messed up. You will not be messed up. Number two, the second tool you need is knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 6. Isaiah 33, number verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The strength of salvation, knowledge, wisdom and knowledge, the stability of the time, and the strength of our salvation. You need knowledge. Number one, knowledge of God. Number two, knowledge of the word of God. To be able to make impact. And that's why Paul or Peter, in his epistle, the epistle of Peter, second epistle of Peter, chapter number 3, verse number 18, Paul Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In that Acts chapter 9, verse 5, Paul asked, who are you, Lord? Do you know what Paul was saying? I think I know you, but I need to know you. I call you Lord, but I need to know you. I persecute people in your name or for yourself, but I think I need to know you. I am zealous for you, but I need to know you. I come to your house, but I need to know you. I work for you, but I need to know you. Do you know him? Knowledge of him, knowledge of his word. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 12, verse 24, the Acts of 12:24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. You will see the effect in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 20. Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And the Bible says that God has given to us, he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Ladies and gentlemen, the more of God you know, the more of him you show. The more of God you know, the more of him you show. And you can only know him as you delve into the word, as you fraternize with him, as you fellowship with God in the word. Know him so you can show him. Know him so you can reveal him. Your depth in the word of God determines your height in the world of man. Know God. It is a tool for impact, the knowledge of the word. Number three is your fruit. The tool, your fruit. It is a major tool for impact. Your tool for impact. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 8. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Your life must produce fruit. Fruits, virtues. Peter called them virtues in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8. He said, add to your faith virtues. Virtues. You cannot make meaningful impact without fruits. Fruitless trees don't attract people, do they? They don't. They don't. So you must be fruitful. Your life must produce the fruits of the Spirit. Your fruits. Your fruits are the proof of your connection to him. They are the proof of your connection. If your life is not producing fruits, then we doubt your connection to him. Number four, your gift, your talent, your endowment. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and 15, he gave one man 5 talents. He gave another man 2 talents. He gave another one 1 talent. And the purpose was for them to go and trade. He gave them according to their several abilities. God has given you talent. He has given you endowment. He has given you gift. And you are to use these gifts and talents for the glory of God. Your gift, your talent, use it for the glory of God. Use your gift to honor God. I love this footballer, Kaka. He's a good footballer. Well, I don't know. He must have retired now. Huh? When he scores, he opens his shirt, removes his shirt, and he sees evangelism. He preaches Jesus. Talks about Jesus. You are gifted. Dedicate your gift to Jesus. Well, I know. It's very difficult in this present age when everybody, where everybody wants to make it and succeed and blow. Who knows one blow? Everybody wants to blow. And so you see people who got gifts and talent from the choir. And then they take it out. They took, in fact, not speak. They took it out and dedicated it to the devil. You see, many of our singers today, they started from the church in the choir. But because of fame, because of name, because of money. Well, who we blame people? Everybody wants to blow. But who told you you can't blow? I just said, good language, ni blow. And you know, let's obey, never blow. Share some, we blow. I'm quiet to your version. Paul, you will blow. Let me change from blow. You will succeed. Some people are waiting for me now to. So I watched the clip of your message in church. You were saying people will blow. What is the meaning of that one? I have removed it. I have recounted. They will succeed. So please play it to this point. Oh, I have said they will succeed. I'm telling those who are. Praise the Lord. Dedicate your grace, your gift. It's a tool. It is for God's glory. And may your generation glorify God in you. In the precious name of Jesus. Let's be going. Let me mention one more. How many have I mentioned? Let me mention 2. Your resources. Your resources is a tool. We have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3, we use that to pray. 1 Chronicles, David said, I have of my own proper good prepared, because of the affection I have set for the things of God, I have prepared for the building of the house of God, gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver. I have prepared. Your resources also can do the work, can make impact. Let what God has blessed you with, let it not end with you. Everything you spend on yourself ends and dies with you. But everything you spend on others becomes your legacy. It becomes your legacy. Let people glorify God because of you. Let people say, I thank God for this person. When I was down, when I had nothing, this was what this person did for me. Let somebody praise God because of you. Use your resources to preach, to talk about, to propagate the gospel. 10 days at Shiloh is around the corner. We're going to sow seed. Contribute towards the program. Be part. Contribute to it, towards it. We're building. Be part. Contribute to the building. Let your resources, it is a tool. Money in your hand is a test from God and a trust. You are a trustee of the money. You're a trustee. Stop seeing it as my money. Yes, it's your money, but someone gave you the power to get it. So they say, I'm not done with your tithe. You say, I don't want to pay tithe. The pastors are thieves. Ooh. Did you just say that? And God said, leave it. Leave it. And I negotiated with God. I promised God 50% tithe. So that he won't let me, he will leave me not to leave it. And when the day of Pentecost came, power came. So don't go out without power. And don't forget, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. God wants to empower you to be a witness for him. But the starting point, have you known him? Have you met him? Don't be one of the seven sons of Sceva. Know him. Please bow down your head. Please rise.
Waba mi gbe titi Oluwa, ohun ti o fe ni mo fe. Fi okan mi se bugbe re la la, wole wole. Waba mi gbe titi Oluwa, ohun ti o fe ni mo fe. Fi okan mi se bugbe re la la, wole wole.
I want to give opportunities to that brother, to that sister. You are here this morning. You have not met him. You are crying like Paul. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I come to church, yes, but I want to know you. I come to your house, but I want to know you. I even officiate in church, but I want to know you. You have not known him. You are not born again. And you want to be born again. Wherever you are, as we all bow our heads and close our eyes, I'd like you to please lift up your right hand. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to know him. I want to know him. Lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Father.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lifehouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.